I want you to open up the Word of God to Judges chapter 11. And while you're turning there, I'm going to go ahead and update Brother Kyle. Let's go ahead and pull that back up. I failed to do so earlier. And we've been updating this every Sunday morning and seeing what the Lord is doing through the faithful giving of our church family. So let's see how many squares that we can take off the board since last Sunday. All right, look at that, man. That was a lot of squares. I couldn't count fast enough. But wow, man, I'll tell you what, we're moving along and feeling strong. It's going to be great, Keep on giving, and we're going to keep on getting this thing ready to roll, and it's going to be such a blessing, not just for sports, but for so many ministry-minded things as well. Judges chapter 11. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God this morning? Oh, man, I'm sure glad to be here as well. Best day of the week. We work hard all week in mind for this day. We push and push and envision and visit and contact people and do everything we can do. And we're always so glad to see who's able to be here on the Lord's day. And I want to give you something from the Word of God that once again has come out of my personal devotion time. And I've asked the Lord this year, Lord, show me something that I've never caught before. I've been praying that before every devotion. Lord, show me something. You know how it is. I've got all these retired Bibles I've had through the years, and I've just worn them out and traveling, preaching, studying them, marking stuff in them. So I've got a new Bible, and this year I've been looking at it and saying, Lord, show me something that I've never caught before in these chapters that I've preached out of, heard preaching out of, heard Sunday school lessons out of, and just have read over and over again. And it just seems that every week the Lord is fulfilling that request. And this week I caught something in a familiar story. It's a story that I have preached from before. When I read the text, you'll probably recognize the name. And when I was doing the series, Let Me Tell You a Story, I did a feature on this man, and we looked at him in great depth on that Sunday morning. But I'm just going to look at one verse today. And a lot of times when I read one verse, I'll think, man, it's going to be a short sermon. And sometimes you're right, but usually you're not. Usually that is a disappointed, you know, expectation. But you know what? It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and I'd rather be here than out there where all the weirdos are. You know what? We in here, we don't have to worry about it. We can just be happy and excited about Jesus. Once we go back out there, people don't understand us. So at least we're around some good people for this time. All righty. Are you there at Judges chapter 11? Say amen. Amen. Say I found it. Somebody say I'm still looking for it. It would help if you had an Old Testament, not looking for it in the New Testament. If you're looking at it in the New Testament, you're going to be looking a long time. But we see it as one of the first chapters, one of the earlier chapters in the Old Testament. There was Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. And so we see Judges chapter 11. Look at verse number 1. It's the only verse we're going to read, but look at number 1. It says, now Jephthah, the Gileadite, was a mighty man of valor. If you have your pen, underline that. Was a mighty man of valor. He was courageous. He was a warrior. He was a man not afraid to go to war, and he was a man who was good at it. We see that there in that fact. Now we see an and there. If you have your pen, circle the and. Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and, notice this, he was the son of an harlot, and Gilead begat Jephthah. Gilead is Jephthah's father. We see that his mother is mentioned here, not by name, but by occupation. She was a harlot. So we see here Jephthah, a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Let's pray. Dear Father, I come to you this morning as I hope to bring out something that you showed me, something that excited me, something that gave me encouragement and hope, pulled out of the life of this man, Jephthah. Lord, I pray that I can relay that feeling, that excitement to these listeners this morning. Lord, I pray that you'll anoint me with your Spirit, use me as a tool in your hand. And then above all, Lord, if there's anybody in this room who does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, it is my greatest desire to see them come to know you as their Savior. And Lord, if that can happen this morning, that'd be a great gift to this church and to the kingdom of heaven. So Lord, use us, use all of us today as an instrument for your glory. We thank you for the music that has been sang this morning, both congregational and through the special that Brother Cooper sang. What a blessing that was, and I hope it was pleasing to your ears as well. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. In Judges, the 11th chapter, among the chronicles of the great heroes of Israel, we see once again an account that reminds us of God's wonderful, wonderful grace. For in chapter 11, we read the story of a man that became a great leader, and by doing so, he will defy all of the usual ideals of leadership. Of course, that man is the man Jephthah, the man whose name we just read in Judges 11, verse 1. Now, in verse 1, we see two introductory facts about this man, Jephthah. In verse 1, we see him introduced, and the Bible gives us two straightforward facts about this man and his life. We see fact 1, he was a mighty man of valor. How many of you read that? Say, it's there. It is there. He was a mighty man of valor, a positive observation about the man Jephthah. He was a man of great courage, a man that had ability to fight in battle and was good at it, a mighty man of valor. Then we see an and then we see a second fact. Fact 2, he was the son of a harlot. Now, notice this about these two facts. As I read that, it caught me and immediately led me to this thought. And here it is. Notice that the second fact will define him for the first years of his life. And if you read the story, you will see that he was an outcast. Little kids wouldn't play with him. Mothers in Israel would say, "You're not playing with that boy. That's the boy of the harlot. That's the harlot's son who was kicked out of his family. That's that boy that doesn't even know who his mom is. That's that boy that you can't be around." And we see that it was horrible on Jephthah. And as he was growing up, going to school, or trying to do the things that little Jewish boys would have done during that day, he was an outcast. And he was born on the first day of his life with this fact: he is the son of a harlot. And it will be the defining fact for the first part of his life. And then I noticed that the first fact mentioned, a mighty man of valor, will be the fact that will define him for the latter part of his life and for eternity. For here we are today, thousands of years post the life of Jephthah, talking about him and seeing him in Scripture, an eternal book, recording him to be a mighty man of valor, and the last years of his life were spent being a great leader in Israel. So we see the second fact became the defining fact of the first half of his life. The first fact mentioned became the defining fact of the second act of his life, and it was the most lasting and eternal fact about his life. How many of you catch that and you see that there in the Scripture? Now, I want to draw your attention to that little word there that is in between these two facts. There was fact one. What is it? Say it. He was a... There was fact two. What was it? But then in the middle between those two facts is a little three-letter word, that word and. Now, that conjunction word and connects these two facts. We see fact one connected by the word and to fact number two. In this, we see a statement with a positive description connected by the word and to a second statement that is derogatory. Do you catch that? How many of you believe when they say the son of a harlot, it was meant to be a compliment? That it was meant to be a positive description? That it was meant to bring confidence in him? No, it was a fact that he could not deny or disclaim, but also equally true about him, he proved to be a mighty man of valor. And these two descriptive facts of his life are connected by this one word, this conjunction, and. And it pulls together a positive about him and connects it to a negative statement in his life. A statement, a fact that will give him great grief growing up. A fact that will toughen him, but also break him many times to the point that he will literally leave his own country and go to the neighboring country where he becomes a mighty man of valor. Not growing up or not having the heritage in his homeland, but ending up being a man of great renown. Now, as I read this, I realize that each and every one of us has many ands in our lives. Positive facts said about each of us connected to negative facts that are also equally true about each one of us. Things that become a part of defining us. Negatives that are connected to our positives, but can at times literally eclipse our positives. Things that caused us childhood pain, embarrassment, maybe even a lot of anxiety. And we will have the ands, and often those ands sound like this. He is a talented man, and he is shy. She is a beautiful lady, and she is damaged. He is a great singer, and he has no confidence. She has beautiful hair, and she has big feet. I knew a girl in high school that was a beautiful girl, model, looked like a model. I mean, every boy in the school wanted to date this girl. But you know how many nights that girl looked in the mirror and would weep and cry because she was beautiful and she had big feet. And that's what a lot of the girls would call her, Bigfoot. And she'd go home and weep and cry and feel ugly because factually she was a beautiful girl and she had feet that were a little larger than the girls in her grade. And there's lots of ladies that look in the mirror. And there is that positive connected with a conjunction to a negative. And when you look in the mirror, all you see is the thing on the other side of the and. All you see is the size of your nose, how big your forehead is. Somewhere along the way, somebody said something about you and put an and in your life that connected to your positive. Something negative, and now that's all you see. And now you can't feel pretty, and you can't feel important, and you can't feel good, because there's an and there. Just like Jephthah had. A mighty man of valor, and the son of a harlot. Sometimes the and will sound like this. She is a sweet girl, and the daughter of an alcoholic. Sometimes it may go like this. That young man is tall and he is slow. Or she is so fast and she is clumsy. He has so much potential and he comes from a bad home. He has a heart to do right and he has a desire to do wrong. The ands are the obstacles and inherited disadvantages that are obvious in our lives. And we all have some ands in our lives. Let me ask you, what are your ands in your life? How would the book of Judges 11:1 read if it was describing you? Jephthah had a hard young life because of that second and, or that second fact after the end. Jephthah struggled. He was ridiculed, made fun of, ran away, disowned by his own family. His father had nothing to do with him because he was not born in a legitimate way into his household. He had to carry that. What are your ands? I want to make some quick statements about the ands in your life, and I want you to listen carefully because we all have them. Everybody in here has got some ands, and those ands have been hang-ups for a lot of us. Those ands can define us, they can destroy us, they can depress us, they can detain us. We don't understand these facts. Fact number one, as I have already stated, but I want to state it as a fact. Everybody has some ands in their life. Say that with me. Facts that describe your condition and your situation. There's some ands there. Things that can detain you. Things that can keep you down and from achieving your goals and desires because they are connected to you and they're connected to your strengths. There's your strengths, there's an and there's your weaknesses, your flaws, your things that you wish weren't there, your disadvantages. Let me give you a second fact here. And this is not going to be too positive, but hear me out. There is nothing you can do to change them. Some things you can change, but there are some ands you can't. I don't care how hard Jephthah wanted, he would never, ever not be the son of a harlot. Because the fact is, his mother was a harlot. That's an unchangeable, unmovable fact. Am I right? So there's some ands in your life that although they're not pretty, they are factual. And they are accurate descriptions of you. They're not glamorous. They're not enviable. Sometimes they're downright pitiful. And it draws pity from others when they see that and in your life. Am I right? Somebody say amen. Amen. They are not choices or the results of bad decisions on your part. Now, there are some things in your life that may describe you because they're the result of choices that you have made. And you have to bear that, claim it, and own it. There are some ands in your life that they were there on day one. They were there when you came out of your mother's womb. Those ands were already attached to your life. We notice here that Jephthah did nothing on his own part to deserve the title son of a harlot. He was born with it. And it would be his description. Even unto this day, we see that attached to his life. Success didn't change that fact. Becoming a mighty man of valor and a great leader, a judge in Israel, doesn't change the fact that on day one of his life, he was born with the and connecting that fact. Now, he achieved the first fact. He inherited the second fact. Are you with me? If he had just lived his life in the second fact and allowed that to detain him, the second whole half of his life would not become the first fact that we read about. I don't know if y'all are getting this. I thought I'd at least get some. There are people who believe that the way you're born is the way you must exist. Not true. Jephthah never changed the fact, but he changed the story ending. He can't change the story's beginning, but he absolutely was in control of the story's ending. The first fact becomes the second fact mentioned after the fact that he became somebody great. I don't know about you, but it's got some chills. Wow. We do not see this as a result of a choice that he made or a decision or a direction in his life. He inherited this. And you know what? There are certain ands in your life that you're going to inherit. And you're going to be born with them. They're a part of your traits. And they often cannot be changed or altered. They are your personal burdens to carry from the day of your birth. Now I'm going to give you a third statement that is obvious from this story in the Bible. You ready for it? Hey, what was that first statement? Anybody remember? There you go. Everybody has some ands in their life. What was that second statement? You're not going to change the ands. There's nothing you can do to change them. Here's the third statement. You can succeed in spite of these ands in your life. Say that one now. Do you believe that? Is that true? Is that just positive thinking? A young girl went to school. As a little girl, she was unmercifully teased. She was born with a blemish on her face. A blemish that made her not even want to go to school. A blemish that made kids make fun of her, and they had nicknames for her. As she began to grow, she had beautiful attributes. She was blessed with beautiful hair, beautiful figure. And one day was noticed by a photographer who took some pictures of her but advised her to have the blemish plastic surgery repaired. Of course, this was a setback and something that she had been teased her whole life for. And she spent a lot of nights crying, looking in the mirror, feeling ugly, according to her own testimony, because of that blemish that she was born with. Had never looked in a mirror and seen her face without that blemish on it. As she grew, it became more pronounced and even larger. One day her mother advised her not to have it removed. She was begging to have it removed surgically. Her mom said, "Honey, it may leave an even worse scar." And advised her to learn to live with it, to learn to accept it. That girl then went on and was discovered by a very large modeling agency. In the end, Cindy Crawford became a supermodel. And that blemish that she hated so much is the distinctive mark that set her apart in the modeling world and became literally her trademark, which literally, through her career, she received letter after letter from women with similar blemishes, saying that her ability to succeed with a big mole on her face in a beauty world helped them to accept their ands in their life. Hey, listen, you can succeed in spite of some ands. Let me give you a fourth and final statement. But you got to catch this one. This is the big statement. This is going to wrap this whole thing up. I want you to notice this. The last fact, the ands are what make you, and they make your story unique, and they are what will eventually make you great. You know what makes Jephthah stand out amongst all the judges, and we're still talking about him? He didn't have a long reign. He reigned for about 6 years. There were judges that reigned for 40 to 60 years. But he's literally mentioned in the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews. You know what makes Jephthah such a powerful story? There were a lot of great, mighty soldiers that came out of Israel's history, but only one was the son of a harlot, an outcast who was literally ran away and came back to become Israel's hero. You take away that second negative, horrible, ugly fact, and he's just another guy. But with that fact added, he now stands out and is celebrated. Are you hearing me this morning? What's your and? What is it that you've used as an excuse to not succeed or to not use your talents or to not make it in life? Everybody's got their ands. But those that make it in spite of the odds that come with that and, they're the inspirers. And there's nothing more inspiring than a person that defies the ands in their life. A young man was born on January the 16th, 1943. He was born in Robbinsville, North Carolina. He had a congenital disorder that left him almost completely blind from the first day of his birth. He was abandoned by his mother as an infant. It was too much for her to handle raising a blind baby. His grandparents stepped in and took him in. He was raised in poverty there in the Smoky Mountains, until he was finally sent to the North Carolina State School for the Blind and Deaf in Raleigh, North Carolina, at the age of 5 years old. He would be sent there to live and to be taught how to live as a blind person. During that time of growing up as a little boy, he recorded that his parents would keep their ear to the ground, and any time they would hear of a faith healing service going on, maybe a tent revival or a church service where maybe there was a man who they had heard had the gift of healing, they would take this young boy and they would have that man pray over him and touch him, and with the hopes that he would walk away with his sight restored in a miraculous way. He recounted how so many times he would go back to the family car still in the dark and disappointed. That man grew up. He learned at an early age that he loved music. And people took note that he had a natural ability with music, especially the piano. And when he was 14, he was slapped by one of the school's house parents. That slap was so severe, it caused him to lose what little sight that he had. And he became completely 100% blind after that incident. But he went from that, continuing to give his life to learning the crafts of music. He went on to have a very huge career with over 40 number one hits. And he has sold over 35 million albums. You know him as Ronnie Millsap. Ronnie Millsap was born with talent, and he was born blind. Go ahead and pull this next picture up. Sarah Biffin was a British lady that was born in 1784 with no arms and no feet. She would have been described as a woman this way in Judges 11. This would have been her. She loved art, and she had no arms, hands, or feet. But she learned how to hold a paintbrush in her teeth. And she painted such beautiful portraits. She won many awards. And her paintings are greatly sought after, sometimes drawing prices upwards to $1 million. She had a pretty big and in her life, didn't she? Let me give you one last one, a story that has circulated. Its origin is not quite known. There's different things attached to it. But the story is that a 10-year-old boy who decided that he wanted to get into judo was discouraged because he had lost his left arm in a car accident when he was just a toddler. Even before he had the ability to remember, this young boy had lost his arm. He never remembered a life where he had two arms. The left arm was gone. He grew up without that left arm and learned to adapt to it. And the boy decided that he wanted to be in the art of judo, the martial art. And despite having only one arm, the boy began lessons with an old Japanese judo master. The boy was doing well, so he couldn't understand why, after 3 months of training, the master had taught him only one move. Sensei, the boy finally shouted, "Shouldn't I be learning some more moves? Why do I practice this same move day after day after day?" The sensei answered him. He said, "This is the only move you know, but this is the only move you'll ever need to know." Not quite understanding, but believing in his teacher, the boy kept training. Several months later, the sensei took the boy to his very first martial arts tournament. Surprising himself, the boy easily won his first two matches. The third match proved to be more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged the boy deftly, and this boy used one move to win the match. Still amazed by his success, the boy was now in the finals. This time, his opponent was bigger, stronger, and more experienced. For a while, the boy appeared to be overmatched. Concerned that the boy might get hurt, the referee called a timeout. He was about to stop the match when the sensei intervened. "No, let him continue, please." Soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard. Instantly, the boy used his one move that he had used in every match to pin him. The boy had won the match and the tournament and was then crowned the champion of that tournament. On the way home, the boy and the sensei reviewed every move in each and every match. Then the boy summoned the courage to ask what was really on his mind. "Sensei, how did I win the tournament and I only used one move in every match?" The sensei looked at the boy and he answered him and he said, "You won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to be able to grab your left arm." The boy's biggest and had become his biggest strength and noteworthy asset. What's the "and" in your life? That thing that you offer up all the time that excuses you from anything? You work it right, it can become the defining point of your greatness. Would you bow for a word of prayer? We all need encouragement at times. Those "ands" can get big. Those "ands" can get big. And it is my hope and my prayer that today I've brought encouragement to you that are facing the "ands" in your life. Facts that you cannot change. Facts that you didn't choose. Facts that are not the results of a bad decision or lack of wisdom. They're just things that are there. Character traits you were born with. Family name you were born with. Habits that are long-time family habits that you have to contend with. And I want you to know that you can be a success in spite of these things. You can do something with your life. Even with the "and." I hope the Holy Spirit's using that in the life of somebody who may need it. But before I have you stand, let me ask this simple question, this one burning, probing question. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you ready to stand before God? In a moment, when I ask you to stand, there will be people come to the altar led by the Holy Spirit. And maybe the Holy Spirit's leading you this morning to say you need to go up there and have someone tell you how to get saved. And if you'll obey that leading, we are prepared to do just that. We are prepared to help you. We are prepared to tell you what the Bible says about how a person goes to heaven. We can take you to a private room and we can help you. But it'll start with you standing and stepping. We're not going to come back and get you. We're not going to drag you out. We're not going to embarrass you. But I'm going to be standing right up here in the front. And if you are not sure that you're going to heaven, I want to encourage you to meet me here and let me help you. Not with pressure, but because it's the right thing for you to do. Now, in a moment, I'm going to say stand. And when I do, the altars are going to be open for you. What is your and out there? Jephthah was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. Which fact is going to be the remaining fact in your life? Dear Lord, I pray that you'll move in this invitation. I pray that it's been a help to somebody today. Help us to deal with the ands in our lives. Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray that they'll be able to come forward today, settle this thing. We ask this in Jesus' name.